It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Wolf Manesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that son of a
Colbert.
First and goal at the three. Lining up in the clock at 10 seconds and ticking. In the shotgun, Mahomes. Four-man front, receiver motion, low snap. He runs and he throws, caught, touchdown! It's caught! Hardman caught the ball! The Chiefs have won! The Chiefs have won! The entire bench empties! Chasing Mahomes in the end zone! Their third Super Bowl in 5 years! The Chiefs are back-to-back Super Bowl champions! It is a dynasty! The Chiefs have won Super Bowl 58, 25-22 in overtime.
Yeah, welcome in. That's what it sounded like. You heard it yesterday here on The Fan, Super Bowl 58, Kevin Harlan and Kurt Warner. Another outstanding job calling a Super Bowl by those two. Our great partners at Westwood One Sports put on an outstanding broadcast. And if you enjoyed any of it, I would think that you would agree. What a game as well. I think in terms of a Super Bowl, whether or not you had a rooting interest, the game itself delivered. It was a captivating game. And 25-22, the Chiefs win. As you heard Kevin Harlan say, back-to-back Super Bowl champs. And we're going to talk about it today here on the show. Of course, a Chiefs win means that former Iowa State quarterback Brock Purdy came up short in his quest to put a ring on his finger, as well as former Iowa Hawkeyes tight end George Kittle. I think you really got to tip your cap, just to talk a little bit about the game here, tip your cap to the Chiefs defense for what they were able to do in limiting George Kittle in that game yesterday. Really made Purdy throw outside the numbers to his wide receivers, and I think that certainly had an effect on that Niners offense. I'd be interested to get anybody else's thoughts on the Super Bowl yesterday. 319-277-1918. Save it in your phone. 319-277-1918. Any questions or comments? You can also dial 800-913-9479 or send me an email with your thoughts on Super Bowl 58. Maybe just you got some thoughts on Brock Purdy himself. Fire away. Email address, Cole, C-O-L-E, at 1650thefan.com. So, yeah, like I mentioned, we'll talk more about the Super Bowl coming up today here on the show. More details in just a moment. First things first, welcome in. I am your host, Colbert. Monday edition of the show underway. Hope your weekend was outstanding. Hope your Monday is treating you right. However you are tuned in, appreciate it. 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, mobile app, 1650 The Fan mobile app, I should say. You can tune in on your smart speaker or stream online at 1650thefan.com. However you are listening to the show, appreciate it very much. Make sure you're following us on X, the artist formerly known as Twitter, at 1650KCNZ. I'm on X at Real Colbert. Like the Facebook page, type in 1650thefan on the Zuck machine. You'll find us. Just hammer that like button, and you'll get more local and statewide sports content into your Facebook feed. Same goes if you're following us on X, and you can just go to the website itself, bookmark it, make it an easy click or two away each day, 1650thefan.com. That's also where you can get the podcast of this show, all sorts of other audio on demand, our broadcast calendar. We've got high school state wrestling coverage coming up later this week, so it's as good a time as ever to be up to date on what is on that always jam-packed broadcast calendar. You go to 1650thefan.com, you hover over the on-air tab, and you'll see the drop-down menu where you can click on broadcast calendar. And that's all of our live sports broadcasts among all four stations we have here in Cedar Falls. Of course, UNI men's basketball with its inaugural season over on 93.5 The Mix, UNI women's basketball as well with its inaugural season going on right now on 106.5 Corn Country, and with the high school boys and girls basketball postseason beginning or having begun in the girls' case, cruising KCFI, bringing you Tiger girls and boys basketball. So it's that time of year. It really is. It's a sweet spot in the sports calendar. Pumped up about it. Good show coming your way today. Area sports news and scores. We'll get to the stack here in just a few short moments on this Monday edition of the show. After we're done there, we take our first time out. Get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as a forecast for the rest of this Monday, looking into tomorrow and Wednesday. We'll come back in the second segment of today's show, and John Walters, Iowa State men's basketball play-by-play voice. Follow him on X at JW Cyclones TV. John will join the show. Since we spoke last with John, TJ Otzelberger's Cyclones got a big win at Texas, came back home on Saturday, got a win against TCU, and right there near the top of that Big 12 race, the Cyclones are. We talked last week with ESPN college basketball analyst Kevin Lehman, and Coach Lehman laid out the blueprint for Iowa State doing something it hasn't done in a long, long time, and that's win the Big 12 regular season conference championship. It's, I mean, as tough as that league is, Iowa State certainly on the Mount Rushmore of top contenders right now. So John, the play-by-play voice, will join us as he usually does on a weekly basis throughout the football and basketball seasons coming up in the next segment. And we'll not only, of course, break down TJ Otzelberger's Cyclones, but got to ask John about Brock Purdy's performance in yesterday's Super Bowl. And Brock Purdy, in case you had not looked into the box score, finished 23 of 38 in that Super Bowl loss yesterday. 255 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions, no fumbles. I think Brock Purdy played well. I think Brock Purdy would tell you he could have played better. He should have played better. That there was, you know, I mean, and you're definitely going to remember it from a game like that. I mean, the biggest stage of the sport, the Super Bowl, the throws, I'm sure Brock Purdy could go into great detail about the throws that he didn't make that he absolutely should have. But there were throws that Patrick Mahomes didn't make that I'm sure he would say absolutely should have made that throw. I think that it was a team loss, and I don't think saying that should reek for anybody of, oh, you're being a Brock apologist, you know, because we talked on the show last week about how much of a lightning rod for, you know, controversial analysis Brock Purdy has become. Brock Purdy played well. He didn't play maybe great, but he played well. He didn't play bad. And there were mistakes made. I mean, mainly the punt that hit off the guy's foot, right? I mean, that was some pretty bad luck more than anything. But, you know, the punt, that bounced off the guy's foot, Christian McCaffrey had the fumble on the first drive when they were moving the ball. Who knows how that game might have changed, especially when it ended up being 0-0 after the end of the first quarter. And it looked like the Niners were well on their way to putting points up on that first drive before Christian McCaffrey had an uncharacteristic fumble. So I think Brock Purdy played well. And, man, I tell you what, tough time to be a Niners fan. A couple gut punches they've now suffered in recent Super Bowls. And you know what? I think I'd rather get punched in the gut than not have no chance to get punched in the gut at all in the Super Bowl. Signed, sad Bears fan. All right. After we're done with John Walters in the next segment talking about Brock Purdy and Iowa State men's basketball, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim. Come back on the other side of that break in the third segment. That's when we'll really get into breaking down what we saw yesterday in Super Bowl 58 with the Chiefs getting the win over the Niners with Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast. After we're done with Logan, we'll take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update. Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, then come back for a final time on a Monday and wrap up the show. That's the plan, boys and girls. Let's go ahead and dive right in here. Area sports news and scores for your Monday. Yesterday, in college wrestling, fourth-ranked Iowa State won 6 matches and recorded bonus points in 5 of them as the Cyclones defeated UNI 27-14. Iowa State improves to 12-2 overall, 5-1 in the Big 12 with that win. Panthers now 6-6 and 5-2 in the Big 12. It was Iowa State's 5th straight victory over the Panthers. Nebraska stormed back from a 14-point fourth-quarter deficit to beat the second-ranked Iowa women's basketball team 82-79 yesterday. Caitlin Clark led Iowa with 31 points, but missed her final 6 shots. She went scoreless in the fourth quarter. Clark now has 3,520 career points, needs 8 more to pass Kelsey Plum's record to become the all-time leading scorer in Division I women's basketball history. With its loss, Iowa drops out of a tie for first place in the Big Ten with Ohio State. Hawkeyes next play on Thursday at home against Michigan. The Iowa women's basketball team, as a result of that loss to Nebraska, down 2 spots in this week's AP Top 25, going from 2nd to 4th. South Carolina remains top-ranked, Ohio State 2nd, Stanford 3rd. As I mentioned, Iowa back in action Thursday when it plays host to Michigan, in which Caitlin Clark, barring anything unforeseen, will become the all-time points leader in Division I women's basketball history. Patrick McCaffrey and Peyton Samford each scored 21 points and combined for 26 in the second half to help the Iowa men rally from a 20-point deficit and defeat Minnesota 90-85 yesterday. Down 77-65 with 7:40 remaining, the Hawks went on a 16-0 run to take an 81-77 lead with 4 minutes to go. Iowa made 9 of 11 from the free throw line down the stretch to seal that win. Hawkeyes now 6-7 in the Big Ten, 14-10 overall. Illinois-Chicago upset the UNI men's basketball team in the Windy City yesterday, 71-65. It was just the 3rd win in the Missouri Valley Conference for the Flames. UNI hit just 4 of 21 shots from 3-point range, struggled at the free throw line, making just 13 of 21. Nate Heisey led the Panthers with 19 points. Panthers now 7-7 in the Missouri Valley Conference. For the first time in 23 years, the Iowa State men's basketball team in the top 10 of the AP Top 25. Cyclones up 4 spots from 14 to 10 in this week's rankings. UConn number 1, Purdue 2nd, Houston is 3rd. High school girls state bowling qualifying meets happening in all 3 classes today. District meets taking place among Metro teams in 3A, Cedar Falls at the district meet in Waverly, Waterloo West at the district meet in Marshalltown. In Class 2A, Waterloo East competing at the district meet in Decorah. And in Class 1A, Waterloo Columbus competing at the district meet at Ames. Qualifying teams and individuals advance to the State Bowling Championships, which take place February 19th through the 21st at Cadillac XBC in Waterloo. High school boys postseason basketball tips off tonight across the state. First-round district games taking place in Class 1A and 2A. Winners advance to the second round, which takes place on Thursday night. Parametro teams in action this evening. In Class 2A, District 5, Waterloo Columbus Catholic plays at Sumner Fredericksburg. And in Class 1A, District 5, Waterloo Christian plays host to North Butler. High school girls tournament basketball continues tomorrow with regional quarterfinal games in Class 1A and 2A. In Class 2A, Waterloo Columbus plays at top-ranked Dyke New Hartford. And in 1A, Waterloo Christian plays host to Gladbrook Rhinebeck. All games tip off at 7 tomorrow. The Cedar Valley will be well represented at the state wrestling tournament this week. Several area athletes qualified following district action on Saturday. In the Metro, Cedar Falls qualified 5 wrestlers. Waterloo East qualified 3, including Max Magana, who is seeking to become a 4-time state champ. And Waterloo Columbus is sending heavyweight Mason Knipp, Perennial Powers, Waverly Shellrock, and Don Bosco, bringing big numbers once again. The Gohawks qualified 11, Don Bosco qualified 10. Other area schools bringing a large contingent include Jessup with 9 qualifiers and Wapsie Valley with 8. You can hear hold-by-hold coverage of the high school state wrestling tournament this week and weekend right here on The Fan. All right, let's take this time out. We'll get you a national sports update, VSiN action update, and a forecast. We'll come back on the other side. And John Walters, play-by-play voice of Iowa State football and men's basketball, joins us next right here on a Monday edition of Cole & Company on The Fan.
Now, your national sports update on The Fan.
Here's Monsi Bolaños.
In the NFL, the Steelers and quarterback Mitch Trubisky have decided to mutually part ways. Trubisky had 2 years left on his deal with $5.25 million due this upcoming season. This is according to the NFL Network. They also report that the Cowboys and Mike Zimmer have officially agreed to terms on a deal. He will be their new defensive coordinator. UCLA has found their new football coach and its former running back Deshaun Foster. According to ESPN, it's a five-year deal. Foster spent the last seven seasons as UCLA's running backs coach and was recently hired for that same role by the Las Vegas Raiders. In the NBA, Miami Heat guard Terry Rozier has avoided any major injury as an MRI today showed a sprained right knee. He will be evaluated week to week. This is according to The Athletic. Rozier suffered the injury Sunday against Boston. But Heat guard Josh Richardson suffered a dislocated right shoulder. He's expected to be reevaluated in a few weeks.
Cole & Company afternoons from 5 to 6. The Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk call-in show on 1650 The Fan and on the 1650 The Fan mobile app. You're listening to Cole & Company on The Fan, broadcasting from the Circa Sports Studio.
The world's largest sports book is now available right at your fingertips in Iowa. Download your new bookie today with high betting limits, tight money splits, and exceptional customer service. The Circa Sports Iowa app. Visit CircaSports.com and get in on the action. If you or someone you know may have a problem with gambling, call 1-800-238-7633.
Hi, I'm Emily Frederick, Director of School and Community Relations for the Waterloo Community School District. Graduating high school can be both an exciting moment and one of uncertainty. That's why the Waterloo Career Center is here to help your student graduate with both a diploma and a plan. Our hands-on environment provides Eastern Iowa students with education and purpose. We'll help your student discover their passion and help them succeed through the Waterloo Community School District's widely recognized award-winning Career Center. Your student can experience an internship, apprenticeship, free college credits, and more, all in a fun, engaging, state-of-the-art environment. Through the Waterloo Career Center, students from Waterloo and surrounding communities have access to work experiences in 18 different fields, including nursing, early childhood education, marketing, culinary, and more. Visit us online at wcc.waterlooschools.org. Waterloo Community Schools, where the future is now.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
The best way to start betting smarter is to sign up for a free VSiN subscription at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe.
First and goal. Mahomes swings it. It's there! Hartman! Jackpot! Kansas City!
Jim Nantz, CBS Sports with the call. The Chiefs 25-22 at overtime over the 49ers to repeat as Super Bowl champions. They're plus 650 to win Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans for a three-peat. The Chicago Bears open up at 30-1 to win Super Bowl 59. Chicago Bulls today, a three-point underdog at the Atlanta Hawks. Hawks are 1-16 against the spread in their last 17 against Eastern Conference opponents. For the latest sports betting news and information, go to VSIN.com. Mike Sennett, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Lows dip down to about 25 tonight under mainly clear skies. Winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow, highs around 43. Partly cloudy skies, tomorrow night, 29. More clouds than sun, Wednesday, with daytime highs approaching 50. 38 Thursday. A dusting of snow, Wednesday night. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Currently, 47.
Welcome back to Cole & Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan at 102.3 FM and on the 1650 The Fan app and streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
Welcome back to a Monday edition of Cole & Company here on The Fan and joined now by Iowa State men's basketball play-by-play voice John Walters. Make sure you're following John on X at JW Cyclones TV. A couple of wins for TJ Otzelberger's Cyclones since we last caught up with John a week ago Monday. I think we got to start, though, with the big game yesterday, the Super Bowl. Of course, Brock Purdy and the 49ers come up short 25-22 to the Kansas City Chiefs. Brock's final line, 23 of 38, 255 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions. I thought Brock played well, and to me, it yesterday's game definitely demonstrated the two best teams were playing in that game. And, man, the Chiefs were just a little bit better, I thought. John, I'm curious to get your thoughts on what you saw from the former Iowa State quarterback Brock Purdy in Super Bowl 58 last night.
Yeah, I thought he played well. I thought he played really well. You know, he came out of the gate and was really zipping. I think he was five for his first five, and they were moving right down the field. Unfortunately, they fumbled the football and turned it over to the Chiefs. I would have loved to have seen what would have happened if San Francisco could have punched it in on that possession and really gotten the ball rolling. But I thought all in all, Brock played really well. I thought the Chiefs did a great job of getting more defensive pressure on him in the second half, especially mm-hmm. in key moments. You know, they were able to get enough pressure to make him hurry some throws. To his credit, he didn't throw any interceptions. He didn't fumble. He really kept his team in the game, and they had a great opportunity to win it. They got the field goal to take the lead, and if their defense holds, then today we're talking about Brock as an incredible story and a hero, you know, without yeah. doing anything differently. And unfortunately, the ball's in the hands of Patrick Mahomes, and, you know, he converts that fourth down, and then off they go and get down the field and score and win the football game. But it was a heck of a game. I thought Brock played very, very well, considering the pressure of you know, his first ever Super Bowl, obviously, and all the eyes on him. I thought he responded to that very, very well, and I was proud of him.
Yeah, likewise. And it was cool to know that Coach Campbell and a number of Brock's former teammates were also able to make it to that game in Las Vegas yesterday. I mean, this really just has to have a tangible benefit for Iowa State football, John, because in talking to coaches, and you know this, that when it comes to making an impression on, you know, young people that could potentially become student athletes at your institution, the power is really in the social media side of things. So as much as you think about the 3.5-hour game and what that might do for Iowa State football with Brock being the 49ers quarterback, just the fact that he's all over social media, not just yesterday, but before then, throughout the offseason, he's one of the biggest names in football at this point. I mean, it'd be hard to measure, I think, how this may benefit Iowa State football moving forward.
Oh, those things definitely help, I think. And, you know, if you're a young quarterback and you're thinking about Iowa State, you feel like, wow, this guy went there and made his name for himself and ended up setting all the school records. And, you know, you look at the video they put out before the Super Bowl that Iowa State football put out, that I thought was really well done. And you got Rocco Becton there saying thanks for paving the way for, you know, for others and meaning himself, you know, and I think Rocco sees a lot of himself in Brock Purdy and feels like he can do some of the things that Brock did. And so, absolutely, it's all positive. It all really benefits your program, and Breece Hall's doing the same thing with that running backs room. You know, that's David Montgomery, those guys, they have created quite a reputation for Iowa State's ability to produce running backs. And, you know, you look around the league, there's a lot of guys playing that are playing really well. And Iowa State didn't always have that. So it's great to have several players playing significant roles on NFL teams. And that number is just going to continue to increase. You know, I thought Anthony Johnson had a great rookie year with the Packers. A.J. Klein obviously had a good year with the Bills and finished out strong there in the playoffs. And, you know, there's a pretty good list that keeps going. Charlie Kohler with the Ravens and Alan Lazard, you know, with the Jets as well. And so it's exciting to have so many guys wearing NFL uniforms and wearing them proudly and doing good things. And hopefully that continues and just that number continues to increase for Iowa State football.
John Walters of the Cyclone Sports Network, our guest right now on this Monday edition of Cole & Company. Cyclone Coaches Corner coming up later tonight here on The Fan from 6:30 to 8. We'll get John's itinerary for the show a little bit later on. But, John, since we last spoke, as I mentioned, a couple wins for T.J. Otzelberger's Iowa State Cyclones. And first, let's start with that win at Texas. We go all the way back to last Tuesday, a day after we had spoke, and after a real tough loss at Baylor where Milan Momcilovic's banked in three just did not go in quite in time or come off his hand quite in time. They bounce back in that Texas road trip and get a win over the Longhorns, one where they had to hold on for dear life. I think it's just, it's got to be a feather in the cap, right? Just another way that they demonstrated, albeit as dramatic as it was, gray hair inducing as it was, that they can win games in a tough conference.
Yeah, and if you're going to win them, you're going to have the gray hair games. I mean, that's the way they're going to be. And I think, you know, for Iowa State to go into Texas and win in a game that was really important to Texas. You know, they'd been struggling to protect their home floor. They've been great on the road, but they've been struggling to protect their home floor, and I'm sure that was a message from Coach Terry to his guys. Let's go protect the home floor. And, you know, Iowa State came out in that game and really threw the first punch, and I think that's been their formula when you look at their successful games, you know, home against Houston or on the road to TCU. They've jumped out to those big leads and then, you know, sometimes had to hang on for dear life, but that's part of it. These other teams are good. They've got a lot of good players. They've got great coaches. They're going to make adjustments, and, you know, can you counterpunch enough to still be able to beat them? And I think that's the difference between this year's Iowa State team and maybe TJ's first couple of teams, where you have several guys that can throw that counterpunch down the stretch, whether it be Keyshawn Gilbert or Taman Lipsy or Trey King or Milan Momcilovic or Curtis Jones. You've got several guys that can score to be able to answer back in those big moments. And I think going forward, not only in the regular season but in the Big 12 tournament, we're going to see more and more of those games where it's a 2 or 3 point game with 2 minutes to go, and then which team makes the plays down the stretch, and that's the team that's able to get the win. And I think Iowa State has been pretty consistently able to make those big plays down the stretch this season. I think that's one of the reasons why they're sitting here at number 10 in the country.
That was the case on Saturday at home, a 71-59 win against TCU, albeit not quite as gray hair inducing, John, but between the Texas game, TCU, maybe just the last 3 weeks, what stood out to me is for as much talent as on this roster, it just seems like this team is that much more formidable, tough to play against when Trey King and Curtis Jones are playing really well. And they played really well in that win against TCU. I think Trey had 15, Curtis had 13. Curtis's ability to shoot from the perimeter, such a big factor for this team. And Trey's ability to affect the game in a number of ways, passing, shooting from the perimeter at times, his rebounding, his ability to score inside. It's just those two in particular, John, for whatever reason, the way I watch this team, when they're playing well, these Cyclones are just that much tougher, I think, to compete against.
Well, I think that's true. And, you know, you go back to the disappointing loss at BYU and Iowa State. That was really the one game this year where somebody just had Iowa State's number and just handled them start to finish. And it was disappointing, you know. But since that point, Iowa State's played 6 games. They've won 5 of them, beating TCU twice, winning at Texas, beating Kansas State, you know, and they lost to Baylor, as you mentioned, but they played, I think, their best basketball of the season in that 6-game stretch, and I think they've played some of the best basketball in the country in that 6-game stretch.
Yeah.
And so you're right. A lot of it has to do with Trey, because when Trey's on, Iowa State kind of goes the way he does, and they need to get him involved early in games. They need to, you know, when you see Trey go get an offensive rebound in the first couple minutes of a game, or, you know, really work hard on the defensive glass, maybe get a couple defensive rebounds, you know he's locked in, you know he's going to have a great game, and Iowa State's going to be in terrific shape. And with Kurt, he's just found out how to be consistent in this conference. You know, I think it just took a little while, but now in these last 6 games, he's been arguably their best player in terms of consistency and getting it done night in and night out. He's been tremendous. And so Curtis has really brought a six-man mentality to that team. And I think Iowa State has one of the better benches in the Big 12 Conference. You know, a lot of teams in this league have really good starting fives. A lot of them do. I mean, you think about Kansas's starting five and Houston's starting five, and there's a lot of great starting fives in the league. And I think Iowa State has a really good starting five, too. But not many teams have a bench like Iowa State does, with Curtis Jones playing his role, Hassan Ward playing his terrific role that he plays, and then, you know, the combination of Jackson Pavelecki and Demarion Watson. Sometimes it's both of them, sometimes it's one or the other. But those guys bring something. When they come to the floor, they usually bring something. For Demarion, it's usually defensively, and for Jackson, sometimes it's offensively. But I think Iowa State has one of the better benches in the Big 12 Conference, and you know, in these close games, when it's a one-possession, two-possession game at the end, a lot of times I think that team that has the better bench ends up winning, and I think that's been Iowa State over the course of time.
I think that's a great point about the bench. I was going to bring up Demarion Watson and Jackson Pavelski just for that reason. You know, they're not frequently called upon to play ample minutes, but they find a way to affect the game when their number has been called upon, and I think you guys had laid that out. It was either the Texas or TCU pregame. You and Eric had illustrated, you know, Demarion's impact recently, and I think it's something that can't go overlooked for sure. Another thing that I don't think needs to go overlooked is Taman Lipsey's overall impact on the team, and I think in particular on offense. You look at the win against TCU again on Saturday, John, 20 assists on 24 made field goals in that game. That's a remarkable number, and I think Taman is a tone setter. For as much as maybe that stuff gets overused, can become cliche, I genuinely think that the way he operates this offense, that it's contagious, and his teammates take part in it. When I talked earlier about how Trey King can impact a game with passing, I think part of that comes from the tone that's set by Taman Lipsey. Do you feel that same thing sitting courtside when Taman's the one that operates this offense, but everybody else seems to get involved in terms of ball distribution?
Yeah, he just plays the game the right way, you know, and I think that's the reason that Fran Fraschilla right now has him on his postseason All Big 12 team. And obviously it's early, but he's made the point that if he was picking today, one of the top four guys he'd pick would be Taman Lipsey. And I think people recognize and appreciate his value to this basketball team. And you think back to the closing 12 minutes against Texas, you know, and DeSue was making all his shots for Texas, and they were trying to make their run. But the guy that was helping Iowa State counterpunch every time was Taman Lipsey, whether he was the guy making the shot, mm-hmm. or he was tipping out a rebound to keep a possession alive, or he was making a pass that led to a basket, or he was making the pass that led to a pass that led to the basket. And he does that a lot, too. And then he was really good against TCU as well. And I just think Taman is a great competitor. You know, he was forced into duty quicker than anybody thought he would when Tyrese Hunter transferred to Texas. But nobody would trade him for Tyrese Hunter right now, and I don't mean that as an insult to Tyrese. I'm just saying
right.
Taman's eclipsed him, you know, and he was forced to play right away. He handled that beautifully a year ago, and now he's got more weapons around him, so he's getting accustomed to, you know, playing a little bit different role. It's not all on his shoulders, but he can get a lot of different guys involved with this team, and he does. And, you know, you need great guards to win in the NCAA tournament. And, I mean, Iowa State does have great guards. When you think about the combination of Taman Lipsey and Keyshawn Gilbert and Kirk Jones coming off the bench, Jackson Pavelski, that's a really good group of guards. And so I think that always gives you a great chance in the NCAA tournament. And I think this is an Iowa State team that can. You know, if the ball kind of bounces right, they certainly can make a deep run into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I agree completely. They've got a not-so-familiar conference opponent tomorrow night, first and only matchup against Cincinnati on the road. John, what do we know about the Bearcats?
Well, I've watched them play a couple times, and I think they're really well-coached. Wes Miller's done a really good job with them. Very athletic. They've got length. Bandego, 7-footer, really good shot blocker, but they've got a couple other guys that are in that 6'10", 6'11 range. Skillings is an outstanding wing-type player who is really skilled, as his name would suggest. Guards that can get into the paint. So I really like their team. Now, they're sitting there right on the NCAA tournament bubble. They found out how difficult life is in the Big 12, but they were looking at this homestand as maybe their most important segment of the season, with hosting Houston and hosting Iowa State, because they knew they had a chance for two marquee victories. They almost got the one against Houston the other day, couldn't quite pull it out in the end. So you got to believe they've got this game circled, and they understand the relevance and the importance of this game if they're going to try to make the NCAA tournament. And so I think Iowa State's going to take their best shot tomorrow night. I think Iowa State can be ready for that, and Iowa State will be ready for that, but it will be tough. And I just anticipate yet another one of those games like we talked about where 2 minutes to go, it's a two-point game one way or the other, and it's just, okay, who's going to make more plays down the stretch? And you hope that Iowa State's gained the confidence in those situations to go do it again on the road, because it's tough. And the deck is stacked against you on the road, and I think one thing we've talked about on your show is just you can't underestimate just how much energy and effort is put into protecting the home floor for teams like this, and especially in these situations.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to be ramped up. They're going to have a full house, and it'll be a really tough environment for Iowa State to play in.
We'll be looking forward to it. Pre-game coverage begins at 5 tomorrow here on the Fan. Tip-off at 6 of Iowa State at Cincinnati. John, before I let you go, Cyclone Coach's Corner coming up from 6:30 to 8 tonight. What can you tell us is on the docket for tonight's show?
Well, it's a Cedar Falls kind of show tonight.
Okay.
First of all, I'll let you know that, Cole. So we've got Noah Wolf, Cedar Falls native, is our guest co-host. And then Bill Fenley will be there in the first portion of the program, and then Kyle Green will be representing men's basketball. And Kyle, of course, spent a lot of years with Coach Jake at UNI, and a terrific defensive coach, kind of the minister of defense, as I call him, for what this Iowa State team has been able to do defensively. And we'll really enjoy the visit with him. But, yeah, I don't remember what it's called, but Noah said he was in, like, the Panther Club or something like that, that camp. He went to camp under Coach Green. So
okay.
We'll let those two kind of hit it off tonight on the show.
We'll look forward to a Cedar Falls-approved version of the Cyclone Coach's Corner tonight here on The Fan. John, as always, thanks so much for your time. Have a great call tomorrow night. We'll catch up again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Cole.
Iowa State men's basketball play-by-play voice, John Walters, kind enough to join us on a Monday edition of the show. All right, we got to get to this next time out. Radio Iowa Sports coming up. On the other side, we recap Super Bowl 58, the Chiefs win over the Niners, with Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast. That's next, right here on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. The Iowa State men are in the nation's top 10 as they get ready for tomorrow night's game at Cincinnati. Defense and toughness have led the Cyclones to a 7-3 Big 12 record. They begin the week alone in second place. They're up to 10th in the latest AP Top 25.
I credit our guys because it takes a lot of mental focus. It takes the fortitude physically to do it, and it also takes the mental focus to be able to, even as a game gets going up and down, to make sure that you're doing that job and you're doing it with a discipline and accountability that, you know, you're not breaking on defense, or you're not giving openings.
That's Cyclone coach T.J. Otzelberger. UConn remains top-ranked, Purdue second, rounding out the top five. It's Houston, Marquette, and Arizona. And the Iowa Hawkeye women are down two spots to fourth in the latest AP survey. They're coming off an 82-79 loss at Nebraska and will be at home against Michigan Thursday night. This is Radio Iowa.
Across Iowa, you don't have to look far to find a bank that's got your back. From just around the corner to the next town over, hundreds of neighborhood banks are going the distance to ensure your future looks brighter than ever. By providing jobs, supporting local businesses, strengthening communities, and helping your dreams become reality. Here, the life you build is backed by Iowa banks. See how banks are making a difference near you at iowabankers.com.
Set your sights on huge firearm savings this week at Fleet Farm. Save on Top Gun target loads, just $7.99. Get a pair of Walker's Razor electronic earmuffs, on sale for only $34.99. Plus, check out our wide selection of firearms, from handguns to your dream hunting rifles. We've got it all from the biggest brands like Benelli, Glock, Sig Sauer, and even more, in-store and online. Shop all things firearms during the Take Aim sale this week at Fleet Farm.
The Cedar Falls School District is announcing kindergarten registration. State law requires that children must be 5 years old on or before September 15th, 2024, in order to attend kindergarten in the 2024-25 academic year. Please call your local elementary school location from the following list: Aldrich, Cedar Heights, Hanson, Lincoln, North Cedar, Orchard Hill, and Southdale. Once you call the school to let them know you have an incoming kindergarten student, the principal will be in touch about additional information and a parent meeting. Completed registration forms are required for all incoming kindergarten students and must be turned in by March 30th to your school building. If you're unsure of your attendance area, please call the Cedar Falls Schools Administration Building. For more information or to download the forms, visit cfschools.org/parents/kindergarten_registration.
Cedar Falls Schools, every student, every day.
Cole & Company on 1650 The Fan.
First and goal at the three. lining up in the clock at 10 seconds and ticking. In the shotgun, Mahomes. Four-man front, receiver motion, low snap. He runs and he throws, caught, touchdown! It's caught! Hardman caught the ball! The Chiefs have won! The Chiefs have won! The entire bench empties! Chasing Mahomes in the end zone! Their third Super Bowl in 5 years! The Chiefs are back-to-back Super Bowl champions! It is a dynasty! The Chiefs have won Super Bowl 58, 25-22 in overtime.
That's what it sounded like yesterday right here on The Fan. The great call from Kevin Harlan, who, of course, was doing the play-by-play, and Kurt Warner did a great job as well. Once again, calling a Super Bowl with the color commentary. Our great partners at Westwood One Sports. Tip of the cap to them. It was another outstanding season of the NFL here on The Fan. And we bring in Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast. He was here Friday to preview the Super Bowl. We bring him back today to recap what happened. The Chiefs getting the 25-22 win. Logan, just hearing back the highlight of the final play, whether it's that or anything else. I mean, what's still front of mind for you thinking back on what was a good, compelling, dramatic Super Bowl last night?
I'm over it now. Last night, I obviously wasn't the most, you know, thrilled as I've ever been in my entire life. But, you know, it's kind of just a thing now where it's kind of inevitable at this point, isn't it? Like, it's just going to – we know what the game's going to – we know how the game's going to start. We know how it's going to finish. And it's going to be the Chiefs coming out on top. And I hate to say it, but yeah. We're in the midst. We just got out of a dynasty, and now we're about ready to enter into another one. And I was watching the game with a few friends, and their most his friend and his family, they're Chiefs fans, and they just sat back, like, no real celebratory stuff. It's like it's just commonplace now. Like, four Super Bowls they've been to, they've won three of them. Like,
yeah.
I wish to one day have that.
Yeah, I know. And I'll say this, gosh, I'm trying to remember who it was that had mentioned it. I think it was during the Dan Patrick show this morning. It may have been Ross Tucker, who was a part of the broadcast team for Westwood One Sports yesterday here on The Fan, where he's like, pretty much also puts to bed the myth that you got to have a quarterback on a rookie contract to sustain success in the NFL. Like, if you're paying a guy a lot of money and he's a franchise quarterback, then, yeah, you can still win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's like what we kind of talked about on Friday with the Chiefs having that young secondary. They just built their defense pretty much. They've aced the draft on the defensive side of the ball. It's been so good for them. Like, McDuffie has been one of their – he made some great plays last night. You got George Karlaftis, obviously picked up the Christian McCaffrey fumble. Nick Bolton was a draft pick. I mean, Chris Jones, yes, he's 30, but he's also a draft pick. Like, they're drafting all these guys. It's not like they're making these big time trades with the Dolphins, try to trade for Jalen Ramsey this offseason, the trade for Bradley Chubb last year. It's like they're making these trades, but the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes, one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the league, and they're still just retooling every single year through the draft, which is a massive testament to Brett Veach and what he's done down there.
Yes.
And same with Andy Reid and Spagnuolo for how they've developed those players as well. It's just that's why it's the you got to be smart with how you handle the offseason. You can't go gung-ho one way or another. You've got to just be really meticulous in how you can go and try to sell people the dream that if you come to Kansas City, you're more than likely going to win a Super Bowl. Like, these rookies, like, McDuffie is 2-0 in Super Bowls. He's been in the league for 2 years. Like, it's just crazy to think about.
I'm glad you brought up Chris Jones. Man, what an impact he had yesterday on that game. I got another point I want to make on him. But first, I thought, and I'm not being – I'm not trying to be that guy. I'm not trying to have a hot take here because I don't believe this is a hot take. I think Chris Jones and even Harrison Butker easily could have been named MVP of that game just as much as Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, it was one of those things where I didn't realize how many yards Mahomes had until the game ended. So I was like, they won, so he's probably going to get it. But yeah, Chris Jones was in the backfield sometimes before the ball was when – like in the shotgun, when the 40 yards were in shotgun, and Harrison Butker breaks the NFL record, Super Bowl record for longest kick, the same game it already got broken.
Yes.
So yeah, they had themselves some fantastic games as well.
If you're a third phase guy like I am, as I've covered football for, you know, going over a decade now, I've really gained an appreciation for well-executed special teams. I mean, tip of the cap to both teams. That was a display of special teams last night.
Yeah, and they even were, like, even before the 49ers, like, Wisnowski, or however you say his last name, pinned the Chiefs down deep numerous times. They obviously got the punt from Tommy Townsend that bounced off the dude's leg, and, and they obviously scored the touchdown from that. Like, everything special teams pretty much worked for the team punting or kicking the ball. Yeah. Not necessarily, obviously, the 49ers, the fumble did not help anything, but, like, the special team unit, they were on one. They were definitely on one yesterday, and it's always it alleviates a lot of pressure when you've got confidence in your special teams unit, especially the kicking position.
The other point I wanted to make with Chris Jones, Kansas City's incredibly talented defensive tackle, was his performance yesterday, Logan, made me think of Aaron Donald in the Super Bowl that the Rams won against the Bengals. Mm-hmm. What was that, 2 years ago now? I am of the belief that not an edge rusher, but the interior defensive lineman in the vein of a Chris Jones or an Aaron Donald, where they are they're a wrecking ball against the run and against the pass, that besides quarterback, that position, and I thought it was put on display and demonstrated again yesterday. I'm more of the belief now than ever that just game-changing interior defensive lineman is the second most important position in today's NFL.
Like, how we're going right now, and, like, just looking at college football, you're looking at kids that are, like, as big as Chris Jones and Aaron Donald that are running 4.6s at the combine. Like, we've never seen this amount of athleticism from the inside, so it's like a insane matchup nightmare for these guards and centers that are trying to block these guys. Like, even Ed Oliver, though, on the lower, he's not to Chris Jones and Aaron Donald's level, he even had a great year this year, and he's around 280 pounds, and he's still causing havoc in the middle of the defense. Like, that position's growing ever so much as the year's going. That's why Jalen Carter, minus the off-the-field stuff, was widely considered to be one of the best, if not the best, overall player in the draft this past April. So it's that position just becoming more and more and more valuable as we go forward in the NFL, which is really exciting to see.
If you do you agree that the interior D lineman it can be the second most and is the second most important position in the game?
I won't say it hold like a 100%, but it's definitely heading that direction. I think there's a lot of edge rusher, for the lack of a better term, I think they got a lot of skin in the game right now. So I think, but they're definitely catching up, because that's a position that's just insanely hard to block. If you have an athletic three tech or something in the inside, along with those big hulking run stoppers, it's one of the most deadly combinations you can get in the NFL today. So yeah, it's definitely on that trajectory. I 100% agree with that.
Any criticism for the 49ers, Kyle Shanahan? I think maybe he could have called a few more run plays for Christian McCaffrey in the second half of the game, but I'm not bent out of shape about it. I also understand why he took the football, especially after everything else has been explained with regard to the new overtime rules. I'm not here to criticize him for taking the ball either. How about you, Logan? I mean, you're watching this with a keen eye. Any particular criticisms?
Well, I thought it was weird. I saw it this morning that Kyle Juszczyk said the 49ers weren't even aware of the new overtime rules. And I guess that would be like the main, like, how are you, as players anyways, like, how are you not aware of the situation and what's going on? And, like, the Chiefs were, I saw, who said, I don't remember which player was talking after the game, but they were like, we sat down every single playoff game and went through our strategy for overtime. And they said if they win the toss, they're deferring. They're going to allow the other team to go down score, and then they're going to score, and then they're going to go for two. That's what their plan was. It had the 49ers, you know, score a touchdown. But that's probably the main thing. And, yeah, giving McCaffrey a few more touches is big. But, yeah, it's just the punt that bounced off the guy's leg, the when Ray McCloud tried to pick it up instead of just diving on it, that hurt. That was a big gut punch right there. So it's just little tiny things, but I don't know how the players aren't aware of what the new overtime rules was, because it's been a thing for two or three years now. So that would probably be my main concern. But nothing like in-game I could say it was like outstandingly bad from Kyle Shanahan anyways.
Well, now it's your second favorite part of the NFL season, Logan. It's the lead-up to the NFL draft. And I know you got your Mock 1.0 out. What's the website people can find that at?
So you can go to the LoganBlackmanShow.com, really creative website, and go under the blog section, and it'll be the first one that pops up. I'm actually proud of myself that I got it out on time. I usually have to delay it a couple of days when I set a deadline for myself, but it was good. At least I think it's good. I think it's fine for now, but right now we know absolutely nothing. So it's just, you don't really, it's all just speculation at this point, even more so than when we get closer. So once we get to the combine and all that stuff, and once the new league season starts, it'll be even more hectic. But for now, I think it turned out pretty good. I might be biased, but I think it turned out all right.
All right, I'll read it and I'll give you my review next time we catch up. I got to run. Okay, have a good day.
Yeah, you too.
I'm Rhett Lewis with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. With Taylor Swift in attendance, Patrick Mahomes rallied the Chiefs to a second straight Super Bowl title with a 25-22 win over the 49ers in overtime. Mahomes' three-yard touchdown pass to Mecole Hardman securing the win. Mahomes earning his third Super Bowl MVP, becoming the third player to win back-to-back Super Bowl MVP honors. The Chiefs, the first team now to win back-to-back Super Bowls in 19 years. And Mahomes already thinking about a three-peat.
We're not done. I know we're going to celebrate tonight, celebrate the Pride Wednesday at Kansas City, but we're not done. We've got a young team. We'll keep this thing going. And I'm proud of my guys, man. This is awesome. It's legendary.
Patrick Mahomes now with three Super Bowl rings in four appearances. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
When you've been injured at work, you have rights. But knowing what should happen after an injury or what you're entitled to can be confusing, even if you're already receiving benefits. The attorneys at Ballker and Hull know the law, what you're entitled to, and how to get it. We know all the tricks that the insurance industry uses to avoid paying you what you're owed. We'll guide you through the work comp process and make sure that the insurance company respects your rights. Call Ballker and Hull for a free consultation.
Ballker and Hull, helping injured Iowans since 1958.
The wrongful death of a loved one is devastating. For decades, the local attorneys at Ball, Kirk, and Holm have earned the trust of Iowa families seeking answers and assistance after an accident. Our team of lawyers will guide you through the process of settling affairs and obtaining compensation for your losses. Your family deserves what's fair, and your loved ones deserve justice. For a free consultation, call Ball, Kirk, and Holm or visit us at ballkirkholm.com. Ball, Kirk, and Holm, helping injured Iowans since 1958.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. After a successful Super Bowl run, it becomes hard to keep a contender together. Rival teams want proven talent who can produce results in free agency. You pick last in every round of the draft, and it continues to get tougher to keep talent on your roster due to the salary cap restrictions. But when you have Patrick Mahomes, none of that really matters. In 6 years as a starter, he has now compiled three Super Bowls, three Super Bowl MVPs, and two regular season MVPs. Those are rare numbers for a 28-year-old. That's what makes this so impressive, his ability to roll with the punches. Since the team departed with All-Pro Tyreek Hill, Mahomes has won two Super Bowls. He's overcome some of the worst receiving play in the NFL. And when things break down, his ability to beat you with his legs is backbreaking for the opposition. And with a future Hall of Fame head coach and a defense backing the all-world quarterback, the Chiefs don't appear to be going anywhere anytime soon, which is bad news for the NFL. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. If you like using debit over credit, don't you think it's time you also got rewarded? Well, now you can with Discover Cashback Debit. It's a checking account that rewards everyone with cashback on everyday purchases. Plus, you're not charged any account fees, period. Whether you're moving, starting a new job, or headed into that next stage of your life, whatever it is, Discover Cashback Debit is for everyone. Check out eligibility and terms at discover.com/cashbackdebit. Discover Bank, member FDIC. Winter is coming. Heavy rain, sleet, snow, and ice. Are your tires up for that challenge? Tread confidently in winter's worst with a set of new tires from Tire Rack. They sell only the best, like the full lineup of Hankook tires. Go to TireRack.com/Dan. Tell them what you drive.
Your tires will be shipped fast and free to you or one of over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Now, back to more Cole and Company on the Cedar Valley Sports Leader, 1650 The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back for a final time on this Monday. Got to thank John Walters, play-by-play voice for Iowa State men's basketball, for joining today's show. Cyclone Coaches Corner coming up later tonight in a little over a half hour's time here on The Fan, 6:30 to 8. John told us that you'll have Iowa State women's basketball coach Bill Finley and men's assistant basketball coach, friend of the show, Kyle Green, on tonight's Cyclone Coaches Corner. So make a note of that. Stay tuned. Also got to thank Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast for joining today's show. If you missed anything, podcast available soon at 1650thefan.com. No show tomorrow. Iowa State men's basketball at Cincinnati. Coverage beginning at 5. I'll be back on Wednesday at 5. That'll be the first day of the high school state wrestling tournament. You can catch all that right here on The Fan. Have a great night, everybody.
You've been listening to Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.